Hey, check, check. All right. Okay, so that was a great song, The Cure. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But what we really want to talk about is getting out of the boat. So we're going to look at Matthew 14. And you know the story. Jesus had sent his disciples ahead into a boat, go out to the water. And he said, hey, go to the other side. I'll meet you there later. So the long and short of it, they got into a mess. It was a storm, a nasty storm. And if we read here, Peter walks out and he says, or Peter answered Jesus, says, Lord, if it is you, command me to come out onto the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand, took hold of him, saying to him, O you of little faith, why do you doubt? And when he got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. So I want to talk about three things this morning, things that Jesus did. There were three big accomplishments that he did in our lives. First, we know, that's not coming up. Can you hit the next button? Well, first thing is, he conquered sin. We know that he conquered sin. So, you know, sin births death. It has for ages. We know sin came into the world at the beginning with Adam and the serpent and Eve. And they let sin into the world. We know that the punishment for sin is death. God so loved the world that he gave us his only son. So whoever believes in him will have everlasting life. Whoever accepts that gift no longer is held accountable for that sin. Here's why. So in Leviticus 4, it talks about what the sin offering is. And what was the sin offering? It was a perfect female lamb. Now you're thinking, now wait a second. The sin offering was a female lamb? Well, we got something wrong there. Because it says in Leviticus 4 that the offering for sin shall be a female lamb or goat, not a male. So often, in Jewish realm, they say, well, Christ couldn't possibly be the sin offering because he's not a female. Well, that's not the sin offering that Christ was talking about. You got to go back earlier than Leviticus. You got to go back to Exodus as Israelites were leaving out of slavery. They were in bondage. They were trapped by the Egyptians. And what did Jesus say? What did God say to the Israelites? This is Exodus 12:5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. Exodus 12:12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on a house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over, and no plague will befall you and destroy you when I strike Egypt. The Israelites were passed over in judgment because of the blood of the Lamb. So it is with us. So Jesus, by dying on the cross, at the moment he died, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why would God forsake his son? It's at that moment that he took the sins of the world on him, and he died destroying sin. So that's one thing he did for us. There's another thing. There it is. Conquered death. Okay, he conquered sin, and he conquered death. Death reigned from creation. In creation, what was the one tree they were not allowed to eat of? Tree of life, right? They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but they said, hey, we can't let them eat the tree of life then. So death reigned from Adam from the beginning until Christ died on the cross. And what did he do after he died? He rose, right? So his resurrection destroyed death. because he came back from dead. So he destroyed death. So we know that Jesus conquered sin on the cross, and he conquered death when he arose. Those are two things he did. There's something else he did. So in knowing that he destroyed death and he destroyed sin, we see the end of times right here in Revelation 20, right? This is what happens at the very end. And it's important as we read Revelation 20 to understand that it's very clear in the scripture throughout that you're saved by faith and not by works, unless any man should boast, right? Romans. Faith is what saves us, faith in Christ. You don't need a lot of faith, just a little bit of faith, faith of a mustard seed, just trusting that Jesus will save you. So Revelation 20 says, I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. This is the judgment seat of Christ. This is the end of days. And this is after everything's over. And there's his throne. And from his presence, earth and sky fled away. Earth and sky left. We know in Revelation it says there'll be a new earth. And it'll be a new heaven. So at this point, it left. And then I saw, and there was no place found for them. And then I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. Now, you have to understand who the dead are. Throughout Revelation, Christ calls his church up at some point. You don't see, after I think it's Revelation 4, you don't see the church mentioned on earth ever again. What you see are people who are left who don't believe in Christ. And you see judgments poured on the earth. And those judgments are for the purpose to change people's hearts. So Christ constantly throws judgments down. Bowl judgments. You know, he just throws them down. Trumpets. And he throws these judgments, and there's seven in each one. And at the very last one, he pauses. And he gathers more people up. People who have turned, changed their lives. He wants people to come to him. That's his main thing. He just wants people to come to heaven. So in his mercy, he stops before the last horrible judgment each time. Three times he does this, and he gathers up more people into heaven with him. But then after all that's over with, we wind up coming up here to Revelation 20. So notice who the dead were judged, how they were judged. It says here, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. So anyone who's dead now is not a believer, has not accepted the gift that Christ constantly tried to give. And books were open. So here's the dead. All these books are opened. And then he says, then another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades, in other words, all those dead people, and the devil and everything was thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. In other words, there's all these books about everything we've done. It's our sin. It's our walking away from God. Then there's this one little book here where there's names written in it. And these are the people who accepted the gift of the blood of Christ on the cross. That's that one book. Then there's the books. The dead were judged according to what they had done in the books. The believers, the people who accepted Christ's free gift, is judged by the fact that they're in that book. That's our only judgment. So that's what the end of days looks like. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. The wages of sin is death. Something you work for, wages. You're going to work for your salvation, going to wind up in death. But the gift, free gift of Christ, is Christ Jesus. Jesus conquered sin, and he conquered death. He died as a perfect sacrifice and rose to defeat death. Okay. We talked about the cure, right? So here, what is a cure? We know who the cure is. Who's the cure? Jesus, right? So a cure is a substance or procedure that ends a medical condition. It stops it, such as a medication, a change in lifestyle, or even a physiological mindset that helps a person's sufferings or state of being healed. Remission, on the other hand, is a temporary cure. The world seeks after a cure. You know, we have this built into us. You know, we're trying to find what that right thing about life is, because we all live about 100 years max, and then we're gone, and what's the point of life? You know, we're looking for that fulfillment, for that cure. And, you know, you might try fame, you might try money, you might try, family, you might try everything to be the cure to the hole that's in your heart, but Jesus is a cure to every problem in civilization. When healing on the Sabbath in John 5, Jesus is speaking to Jewish leaders. He says, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you might have life. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believe Moses, you would believe in me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" In over 400 prophecies from the Old Testament, Jesus is revealed. He's the cure for the world. He's the cure for the United States. He's the cure for Harrisburg. He's the cure for everything. Yeah. You may say, well, wait, he's not the cure for sickness. What's the sickness that God really cares about? It's our hearts. You know, everything else is going to pass away. Well, is he the cure for my financial situation? Well, maybe he can help you. But that's not the abundant life and the life that Christ called us to. The abundant life is knowing that you're right with your Savior and that you're doing something to help others find that same thing. That's what life's all about. So there's one more thing he did. Conquered death, he built an army. Jesus built an army. An army designed to offer the cure to the world. That was what he did. So he conquered sin, conquered death, and he built an army. Listen to this. From now on, this is in 2 Corinthians. "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh." In other words, don't look at other people for what they are in the flesh, because that's going to pass away. Look deeper. "Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself." By dying on the cross, he reconciled us, right? And what did he do? He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He gave us a ministry. Every single one of us. It doesn't matter. You're all called. We're all called to be ministers for Christ because he gave us that ministry. Who has asked Christ into their heart here? A lot of you raising your hands, right? You've asked Christ, what are you still doing here? Why didn't God take you up with him then? He left you here for a purpose, right? He left us here for a purpose. The ministry of reconciliation, that in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so in him we might become the righteousness of God. So God entrusted us with this great ministry. He created an army of people to to carry his message forward. We're not unequipped. We're not unequipped. So if we're this great army, we need to act like it, right? Second chapter of Acts. It was the foundation building of the church. It was when the Holy Spirit came to the apostles. So it was Pentecost, right? When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came through heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So on Pentecost, as this is happening, everybody's speaking in different languages and professing God. Now think, you know, this is just a little upper room they used to hide in. It was a hiding place. And Christ told them to wait, I'm going to send somebody to help you. And here comes the Holy Spirit. And these guys start screaming in other languages, enough that people on the streets start gathering around saying, what's going on here? Something's happening up there. And Peter. There's Peter. Remember Peter? He's the guy who said, I don't know Jesus. I surely don't know Jesus. I tell you a third time, I don't know Jesus. Peter, the sword is mightier, says Peter. But Peter, what does he do? That's Peter. The Holy Spirit gets a hold of him, powers him up, and he goes out to the street where all these people are questioning what's going on, and he starts talking to them. Listen to this. Here's what he said to them. Peter, the one who's afraid of everybody, he says, fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man according by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, you put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. See, they knew this. They were eyewitnesses to Christ's death, and thousands were eyewitnesses to his resurrection. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, who you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what do we do? Peter replied, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all those who are far off. That includes us. For all whom the Lord God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message and were baptized on that day numbered in 3,000. Normally, they numbered people as males only. So it was probably more like 8,000 with women and children. The Holy Spirit shook the world. Shook the world. What holds us back? Fear. Right? It says there, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. God didn't give us fear. Where's fear come from? Go ahead, say it. Where's fear come from? The devil, right? 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. If you're still afraid of punishment, you haven't been perfected through the blood of Christ. Psalm 34, I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Luke 10:19, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and all over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you." Does that mean you never get physically hurt? No. But what can hurt me? If someone walked in here and killed me, how's that going to hurt me? I'm assured already of my salvation. He's just going to hurry things along for me. You know, to die is, Paul said, for me to die is Christ, I'm sorry, to live is Christ and die is gain. That's what he was saying. He's saying, you know what, you can kill me, and that's okay because I'm going to be with Christ. Or if I'm going to live, I'm going to live for Christ. Those are the two things I'm doing. You know, Paul is a perfect example. I mean, here he is in prison, and he's got prison guards shackled to him, and he's witnessing to them all the time. And, you know, and he doesn't care because it's his mission in life. Every one of the disciples died. Many horribly. Except for John, they tried to boil him, and he survived. But, you know, we're all going to die. We're all going to move on. And the key is, what are we going to do while we're here? Because that's what counts. So, Peter, did he fail? No, he didn't fail. He may not have had enough faith to walk on water, but he had enough faith to get out of the boat. And when he got out of that boat, as he sunk, who was there to save him? Jesus. He knew that with Jesus there, he wasn't going to fail. What an opportunity we have. I mean, our little corner here at Devonshire. I mean, Little Lambs Preschool, we're touching tons of lives there every day. You know, we have a new facility. What are you going to do with that new facility? You know, maybe somebody's going to start a fitness class. Maybe we're going to have pickup basketball, and some of the members here are going to go over there and rub shoulders with people and show them how much God loves them. That's a ministry. Maybe you're going to do a luncheon for seniors. That's a ministry. There's so many things that all of us could be doing. And don't cut yourselves short, because we have the power of the Holy Spirit to do everything. Matter of fact, every morning when we wake up is a gift from God. Every morning we wake up, and we have to think daily, what are we going to do with that day that God has given us? Because that's the only day that will be that day. And then we move on to another day. And if we're stuck in the cycle of worrying about the days instead of seizing the day that God has given us, then we're not doing what he's calling us to do. So he calls us to be bold, right? Proverbs 28:1. But the godly are as bold as lions. Not this bold. Bold, like strong bold. Yep. So think about this. God has given us an arsenal to reach the world. He's given us his Holy Spirit. You know, Ephesians talks about the full armor of God. He's given us all this stuff. He's given us the word. He's given us the sword of spirit. He's given us, you know, feet to share the gospel. He's given us the breastplate of righteousness. He's given us the helmet of salvation. He's given us all these things to share the gospel. And every single one of us are capable. It's just we have to get past the fear. Because fear is from the devil, and the devil doesn't want you to win. God said, I came to give you life. I came to give it to you more abundantly. This is the abundant life. Service to your master, who is Jesus. Service to God is what the abundant life is about. Because as you serve him, you share in his joys. I'm going to leave you with a video, of course. This video is... It's by a group that you might consider a hard rock, Christian rock group, but this video is not hard. It's actually really good. So what I'd like you to do is come and think about this. This is something that says go out. And look at the words very carefully as they come up, because it speaks a lot to how we should be as followers of Christ. So come on, stand up. And if you want to sing along, you can sing along. It's a great video, and it's easy. But consider this your challenge. As we, you know, it's Memorial Day. Let's remember not only those who have fallen, but let's remember even those saints that have gone before us. And let's remember that we're in a battle right now, and it's not flesh and blood. It's all about sharing God's love.
Today we live, today we breathe, today we know that we are strong when we are weak. Today we trust, we overcome, take every chain that kept us slaves and throw them off. We're not waiting for permission, we defy our inhibition, like our middle name is fearless, unafraid. If we're gonna fly, we fly like eagles. Us that fly away. If we're gonna fear, we fear no evil. We will fly. By your power, we will go. By your spirit, we are bold. If we're gonna stand, we stand as giants. If we're gonna walk, we walk as lions. We walk. Today is ours, it's always been. Before we face the fight, we know who's gonna win. We live by faith and not by sight. We don't want safe and quiet. We don't wanna run and hide. This is not an intermission. It's our time, not gonna miss it. You've already called us fearless.
Thanks, Bob, for encouraging us and challenging us this morning. This and the hope that we have, and that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we have nothing to fear, and we can move forward faithful and trusting in our great God. And so as you go out this weekend and for the rest of this long weekend, I just pray that you're encouraged and just faithful and ready to go and serve the Lord however he calls and leads us.